Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Mailbag. Spending caps, big stars going to the Prem, and stadium entrances are the order of the day. It's Saturday, 27th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Raffel.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. It's Saturday. What a day. And it's mailbag time. And if you want to get involved with the mailbag, you can tweet us on X at Football Ramble, message us on Instagram at Football Ramble. And of course, you can email us show@footballramble.com. And there's the Discord option for our Patreon beauties. I'm going to start, Luke Moore. I'm just going to go on.
Get involved. It's Saturday morning. People have got things to be doing. They want to be walking the dog. They want to be going for lunch. They want to be doing other stuff. Get on with it.
Right. This from Riley on email. Hi, guys. With the Premier League about to vote on a spending cap, I wanted to ask, is there any way that this is a bad idea? It seems like an absolute no-brainer, but there's still a risk of it not being passed because it's not in the interest of clubs who make the most money. Cheers. Andy Brassel.
I think it's slightly different to that. So it's not like everyone can spend a flat load of money. Mm. I think the proposition is that there will be a luxury tax for people that go over the top, a little bit like in the NBA, and then a hard cap above that. So the clubs that have got the most money will still be able to spend the most. It will be like you'll be able to breach PSR, but to pay for breaching it, as far as I understand it. Right. So it still would be to the advantage of the richest clubs.
Mm.
No?
What I think that people want, Luke, is for clubs who are outside of the non-traditional that we've come to know, top four, top six, and they want people to be able to, or teams to be able to break into that. And then if they do, it's not just a one-season wonder. They can go in there and they can sustain it. Mm-hmm. And some are suggesting that maybe this is a way to do that. Mm. Whereas Andy's, as Andy just said there, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that ultimately it will be the rich clubs that will probably benefit from this. So how do you see it, Luke? Do you think this is a way, in some way, to try and help? Because obviously Riley thinks it is, because he's asking the question, is there any way that this is a bad idea?
I think it's got to be seen in context, right? Talk of a spending cap, and Andy will correct me if I'm wrong here, but it feels to me that talk of a spending cap and all these kind of administrative things that the Premier League have been trying to do in recent years have always come from a place where they're trying to stave off like an independent regulator. Right?
They don't
want an independent regulator to come in to regulate the Premier League because, you know, for all the obvious reasons. But of course, you know, the state of the rest of football outside the Premier League in this country would be the biggest argument for having an independent regulator. And I know a lot of high profile people in the game have been calling for it. Richard Masters and the Premier League more generally don't want that, and they fought tooth and nail against it for years, and they will stop at no fig leaf to try and stop it happening. So that's the kind of concept, right? I think it also exists within a space where, ideally, given the financial state of football generally, and I'm being broad here, and again, Andy can chime in because he knows more about European football than me, but the general state of football finances between the haves and the have-nots, not just in England, but around more traditional footballing hotbeds in Europe, has become a huge problem. But it becomes quite difficult to see how they can move towards a possible kind of salary cap that, say, takes into account all the clubs in UEFA competitions, for example, right? The way they do in the US, it's a salary cap in sports in the US. They can't really do that. They'll probably never get people to agree with that.
But expecting European-wide equality is not realistic. So it might be desirable, but it's not realistic.
So the reason I'm saying this as contextual information is because when you look at it like that, the Premier League might feel, and I don't have any sympathy for this position really, but they may feel that they're in a position between the devil and the deep blue sea. They can't go one way too far. They just won't be able to. And they go the other way too far, they're going to get a load of people, in their view, going to get a load of people coming in that's going to interfere with their business and change how they do things. And they don't want that to happen. In addition to that, you've also got the specter of the PFA being probably on high alert about how this spending cap manifests itself. Because if it does start to mean that players' salaries come down or don't improve or increase, that's going to be tricky as well. And again, no one should have sympathy for that because they get paid a huge amount of money at the top level. But it's something that's happened in the US where we see players who can't negotiate salary deals, groups of players unionized. And then there have been strikes in the US. There's been strikes in the NBA. There's been strikes
lockouts.
Yep. The season doesn't start. So I actually think it's quite an interesting proposition because I'm not really answering the question yet, but I will get to it. What seems to be happening now is that it's almost like the last days of Rome. It's almost like people seem to understand that this can't go on forever. And people have been saying that for years and it has continued to go on, but maybe it can't go on forever for all the reasons we've talked about. So something does need to change. The devil will be in the detail in this. The Premier League teams have to vote on it. It may well be at first glance you go, well, they're not going to vote on it because it's bad for them. But they may vote on it because it may be better than the alternative that comes in that an independent regular introduces. So to me, it feels like the part of it that Andy's talked about around the financial penalties for breaching PSR, that seems to me beside the point. I think if we can find a way to administer points deductions, which genuinely do hurt teams who break the rules, in a coherent way, ideally in between seasons, that would be the best outcome, I think. But ultimately, a lot of this money, the vast majority of this money, is going on player wages. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to target where the money is being spent, in my view.
But you say that. If there is a time to attack player wages, I'm not convinced this is it. Now, you might say there's never a good time to do this. But I think if you look at the workload on players at the moment, you're pushing towards a situation where you talked about players unionising, and maybe, you know, if you're going to have a salary cap, you would have, again, just as you have in the NBA, a collective bargaining agreement between the unionised players and the league. The thing is that if this comes to be formalised, and if they do introduce a salary cap, and this isn't what we're talking about at the moment, but it's a possibility and a way of getting below this line. Players are rightly going to turn around and go, okay, well, we only want to play a certain amount of days per season, because the way they're being flogged at the moment, as I've said before, it's not desirable for the players. It's not sustainable for the players. It's not great for the public because they're paying through the nose for an inferior product as well.
Yeah.
So I just think this is going to affect everything. If you bring that side into it and the players get to a point where they start to formalize their opposition to the amount of pressure, to the amount of workload that's put upon them at the moment, that is something that the clubs definitely don't want, because they want to get as much product out there as possible.
So that's all true.
and that's an adjacent point, which I think is worthy of further discussion. But before I come on to that, I think it's worth just saying to people who are listening who perhaps don't know the detail on this. Essentially, from the 25-26 season, there's talk of essentially anchoring the amount of money any club can invest by linking it to a kind of weird multiple of what the Premier League's lowest earners earn, based around centralised commercial deals and broadcast revenue and stuff, which is a step further, according to, I'm reading this from The Athletic, a step further from the UEFA mirroring new squad cost rules, which clubs are set to vote on in June, that permit squad spending to a ratio of revenue and player sales. So it's essentially saying we're going to take how much you can spend and link it to a certain amount of kind of factors, financial factors elsewhere, which should, in theory, at least go some way towards making the league a bit more egalitarian.
But we have to say
and staving off massive investment from outside.
But we have to say that the Premier League has actually always done equality between its members better than the other European clubs.
Yeah, that's true.
By a long way.
Because, for example, Barcelona and Real Madrid can negotiate their own broadcast deals outside of La Liga, which gives them a huge advantage. And they would say it's because we're far bigger clubs. We contribute a lot more to the revenue, so we deserve more of it. The Premier League have always resisted that. They've always not done it. They've talked about it. Clubs have talked about it, but they've not been able to do it. But on the players' side of it, which is a key part of this, there has to be a limit to this, right? There has to be a limit. If you're going to salary cap players and you're going to put spending caps on, salary cap to me feels like a step along the line after the spending cap, as you've already mentioned. You probably are going to look at players going, well, okay, we only want to play a certain amount of days a season, as you've said. The problem is, as always with this, everything is a massive kind of power struggle between the various different football administrative bodies that want to grab power over football. So the reason that, like, UEFA want to expand the Champions League is partly because they don't want a Super League independent from them, but it's also because they don't want FIFA to power grab all the football stuff from them. And the reason FIFA then responds to that with an increased in size FIFA World Cup is a response to, because they want international football to be important.
It's not about the tournaments themselves, it's about the right to organise the tournaments.
The players are just pawns in all this. Yeah. So something, I guess it's a non-answer, really, because it's hard to see how it's going to manifest itself. So, Riley, what I would say is something has to change. I think this could be a positive step if done well. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, a few weeks ago, the Premier League clubs, they agreed to this spending cap. So it's about the detail of the spending cap. So we will see a cap on spending on players and so on. But will that be tied to the income of the lowest earning club? You know, that's one of the details in it. You know, I think going back to what you were saying at the start, to give a bit of context, I think this is them trying to stave off an independent regulator. Yeah.
But they weren't going to do that, because that's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
So it's a central part of some governing parties' manifestos now, I think.
Yeah, I think with these things, when you introduce these new rules, and we've seen with FFP and blah, 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 sometimes you just have to wait to see if they work or not. And I know that's a bit of a, sort of a cop-out to say that, but that's ultimately, it's hard to predict, because...
No, but it's you're right. It's like when we used to talk about root and branch reform of the FA and the academy system after every World Cup and after every early England exit.
I miss those chats, Andy.
I know. You can't introduce a new system and then say 2 years later, it's not working. You can't. You've got to give it time to work.
And you keep saying, you know, when are we going to get Brexit done? Of course.
Talking about his oven ready deal, right?
Well, look, as soon as you provide me with a podcast on Stack to get these views across, I'll get them across more explicitly.
Andy wants £350 million extra a week for Olympic Lyon. The independent regulator discussion, which is adjacent to this and is an important part of this, is also a fascinating one, because really, football in England is so top-heavy, it's unbelievable. And we talk about this every other week on the mailbag, about how many other clubs outside the Premier League are struggling. The statistics speak for themselves. And that's happened because a slow kind of death by a thousand cuts, as the Premier League have dished out, you know, kind of the occasional little olive branch, but taking a whole tree over there, you know, and things like ECPP, the elite player performance plan scheme started by the Premier League ostensibly to develop more elite players, because they argue that it gets them access, these players, these young kids, to better training and academy facilities. It essentially also means that it robs local clubs all around the country of access to their own local talent.
And just to jump in, sorry, Luke, some people might say, well, hang on, but you've still got sort of quite a lot of healthy clubs in the Football League and so on. But your point about death by a thousand cuts, exactly. There's these little rules that haven't helped. And, okay, the situation could be worse, but it could be a lot better.
But the clubs who, there's three types of clubs that exist outside the Premier League. Mm. Ones who have come down from the Premier League have got loads of money because of that. Mm-hmm. Ones who have absolutely no ambition whatsoever and are happy just to poot along with like a local owner and don't spend any money and hope they don't get relegated. And ones that are run ridiculously irresponsibly that look healthy at the moment but aren't. That's the only three options for a Football League club.
Yeah.
The point I was going to make about the regulator is the regulator also has to be careful because in terms of an amazing export and a bit of soft power and establishing, you know, the UK, obviously in this case England, but benefit the whole UK status in the world, the Premier League's a massively successful export.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of things to balance here. Mm-hmm. So what sometimes feels like is that they know what they should do. They don't feel confident enough to do it because they don't want to ruin a cash cow. They end up doing kind of a bit of nothing. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing kind of rumbles on for another few years. But I do think that PSR needs to have teeth. Mm-hmm. It needs to have punishments that aren't just financial because ultimately the clubs aren't, they shouldn't be run as financial operations, should be run as football clubs. And so there's a load of kind of genie out of the bottle stuff that can't go back in now, but you should try and seek to control the controllables. And so it is a case of waiting to see what happens, but at the same time, of course, things do need to be done.
You're saying you don't trust rich people to regulate themselves?
No, I don't. And I think if we're all sitting here being honest with ourselves and we wanted to get a regulator in there that didn't damage the Premier League product but also had a bit of teeth, the first thing you would do is say every club in this country, whatever level they're at, has a right to protection, to have ring-fenced their local area where they can generate their own players. And they're rewarded by the quality of the players they bring through because they can sell those players on. No one's looking to stymie young players' development. If it's the right move for them to go to a Man United at the age of 19, great, but you're going to pay for that. You ain't going to go and get them before they're 19. And or before they're 21.
Yeah, the encouragement of stockpiling is an incredibly negative thing.
Because ECCC ruined the whole thing because what it said was the Premier League said, we will give you this money you need, the Football League, but in return, we're not giving you any protections around your local players. And so the whole edifice has been removed.
Yeah, I mean,
it's all built on sand now.
Yeah, well, I mean, and this is the balancing act because there will be a few people who benefited from those ECCC things because they said, well, actually, my local club aren't really that great at developing players and so on. So actually,
no incentive for them to do so.
Of course, but this is it, Luke. You sometimes, you know, whatever system you adopt or whatever you do, you cannot keep 100% of people happy, you know. So you'll always get these little stories. But I agree with you. We should move on, though. We should move on to the next question.
Yeah, this is from Bryn. He says, hopefully not too niche here, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on stadium entrances. Ooh. Do you have a particular favourite? My particular favourite, if I recall correctly, was the 1982 World Cup, an underground, somewhat gladiatorial entrance with steps rising up to pitch level. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was a bit sort of Italian 90, if I remember correctly. Some of the teams, they would come up from...
You know what still does have that?
Naples.
Fratton Park. Yeah.
Do they really?
Fratton Park, you come out of the...
Well, I think the reason why I thought Napoli is because I remember the Diego Maradona documentary where he sort of comes up the stairs to face everybody, which is sort of quite nice.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, entrances onto the pitch. Old Trafford's have got a famous one in the corner, of course, and Craven Cottage, where they're outside, aren't they? They come out the change room, they're outside waiting, you know, open to the elements.
But they have that little gazebo at Craven Cottage.
They've got that Old Trafford as well.
And I always remember, but it's quite a low gazebo at Craven Cottage. And I remember when Breda Hangerland used to play for them, he always had to duck over he didn't hit his head on the top of it.
Well, Andy, I actually I've mooched around that little area before at Craven Cottage, and I went when it was Christmas, massive, beautiful Christmas tea.
Yeah,
and Old Trafford as well. Of course, I have walked that one, haven't I?
Scored a goal there, haven't you, as well?
Scored a goal, yeah.
Don't talk about it much, but Quinton Fortune
haven't
Cross
done for a while. Yeah, it was. Yeah, cut back more really.
But did you go and celebrate with him for putting the goal on for you?
Oh, big time.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Yeah,
I don't think anything that's got a gazebo involved can be seen as an iconic entrance onto a pitch.
Well, what about
this is cool?
Then from the kind of the silly
Anfield classic.
Yeah, touching the badge.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
much. That's a great tradition.
No, that is. But what about, I don't know if they still have it, but it was at the Bernabeu where they have, or had, like a sort of iron sort of fence, if you like, separating the two teams. Coming. Yes. I remember seeing that going, do they normally have massive scraps after games? It was a Classico, quite fittingly.
It works better in a Classico, right?
Indeed. Or maybe they just directed it for the Classico, I don't know. But it was quite like something to see that when you had a little sneak with the camera.
There's a whole battery henna element to it, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was weird. I was a bit like, this doesn't happen. Maybe they remember that Keenan Vieira stuff and thought, well, we better put something up here. You know?
Germany do it particularly well.
Right.
Because, of course, where Schalke come from, it's a huge coal mining region traditionally around Gelsenkirchen. And they did the inside of the tunnel, like the inside of a coal mine. So it was like you were coming through. That was really good. The other one as well is Hertha Berlin, where what they do at the Olympiastadion, they have, and you'll remember it probably from the 2015 Champions League final, they have an escalator.
Oh,
nice.
That goes down as well.
Shouldn't one of your professional athletes?
No. Well, save every kind of
save every
piece of
bit
energy.
Of energy for when you're on.
I don't know if I'm going
pitch.
Back up at the end of the game. That's right.
Everyone's
the opposite to that is the Maracanã, Red Star Belgrade, Crvena Zvezda, where the walk from the dressing room down the tunnel is quite intimidating. It's quite dank and all these murals down it. I reckon it's probably about a 120-second walk. It's a long walk to get out onto the pitch.
Yeah, Fortuna Düsseldorf has a. Steps up as well. A lot of them do. A lot of these stadiums do.
Mm.
Always hold the handrail, players. Exactly. Always hold the handrail.
Yeah, or bring, if you're at the Bernabeu and they still do have that separating fence thing, and if you want to have a pop at the opposition.
Go for it.
Bring a bit of sauce.
Spit on them.
Yeah. Ah! That's a shame. That's a shame. And we're going to go for a break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
All right, we're back in the habit, like Sister Act 2. This is from Mandeep on email. Next question. He says, long time listener, first time emailer, from Kathmandu, Nepal.
Blimey.
Hey?
I'd love to go there.
Global. We're going global.
We are.
Historically, the absolute best players, says Mandeep, haven't always wanted to play in the Premier League. Your Zidane's, your Ronaldo's, your Ronaldinho's. Played in other major leagues, but not in England. Even Cristiano left for Madrid at the peak of his powers to a Madrid side that was weaker than Man United. Madrid hadn't even played in the Champions League quarterfinal for ages. With the power of the Premier League grown so much in the past few years, you'd assume that would change. But Bellingham chose Madrid, Mbappe's going to Madrid, And even Haaland's City contract seems to be very short-term and he wanted to leave a door open for a move elsewhere. So why has this been the case? What else does the Premier League need to do to attract the established stars? Thank you. And Luke, please be nice to Andy Bressel. He's the GOAT.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm about to say Mandeep.
I'm always nice to Andy. It's affectionate.
Off mic.
Yeah.
This is like in the Linklater film, Dazed and Confused, where that senior goes to the boys who go around giving the freshman licks. Oh yeah, my little brother Mitch, he's small, so go easy on him. And obviously he gets the most licks.
It's battered. Andy isn't the GOAT.
No.
The Mandeep. I could think probably five or six European journalists much better than him off the top of my head.
Right? But you can't afford any of them.
No, Andy, I can't.
No, I'm only joking. Aww. Andy is the GOAT. But the question is, as it's been asked, you know, what is this? Is there anything in this? Because I think there's a bit of detail in there, which is probably explains quite a few of those, but perhaps you guys want to have a run up at it.
I think that there was definitely something a few years ago. I think to cherry picking ones as Mandeep has done can be slightly misleading because you could say, well, you could pick certain players, like say someone like Kevin De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne is not going to go anywhere unless he feels that he's done everything he set out to do at Manchester City. You know, when Ilkay Gundogan went to Barcelona, felt step down is a bit too strong.
It was a lifestyle choice.
It's a lifestyle choice. He won the treble. I understand that the deal was probably already done anyway, or perhaps not, but...
And he's been very, very angry ever since.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think
the landscape does change in football, because I still think that Man City would be the one. Now, Haaland, but a lot of these examples, you know, Bellingham Madrid, Mbappe Madrid, Haaland, we think it's going to be Real Madrid as well. Well, Real Madrid's pulling power will always be utterly enormous because they're such a dominant
Real
club.
Madrid and Barcelona are outliers.
They are.
Yeah.
And I think that may be because that throughout the years of people growing up, however old they are from our age to, you know, Jude Bellingham's age, Real Madrid have always been one of those clubs. Despite them not reaching latter stages of the Champions League for a little bit, they've always been
because
one of those.
Because you close your eyes and think of the players who played there and the Champions Leagues that they've won.
Indeed, and because of the dynamic in Spain, they've always been like that. And Barcelona are another one as well. In the Premier League, it can change a little bit, as you know, in the point in case of Manchester City as well. So Real Madrid have always got that pulling power. I think the lifestyle choice is definitely one of them. But people might think, well, you go to Real Madrid, you know, you're almost guaranteed to win trophies. There was also the whole tax business in Spain, so financially it was better for some of the top players to go there.
Right until the point where you get a year and a half in prison and fine €2 million.
Yeah, exactly. So I think you said at the start, you know, there is some sort of little details. Perhaps maybe you had that in mind, perhaps you didn't.
No, the detail I had in mind, particularly with Zidane and Ronaldo, is just that they did their best work in Italy and there wasn't a bigger gap in back then. You know, Italy was still...
Ronaldo, you're talking about Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah.
The Premier League of 2001 isn't the Premier League now.
And then with Cristiano, I would also say, he's Portuguese, from that part of the world.
Yeah, lifestyle.
And Madrid is an outlier, as you guys have said. It's absolutely easy to see why Cristiano Ronaldo would see Madrid as a step up from Man United in the same way that you wouldn't think that Paul Scholes would see it that way.
Yeah. But you know what?
Just different background.
I think Mandeep is 100% right, actually, because when you're talking about the best players in the world, like he's talking about the absolute A++ superstars, they're always going to be outliers as well. Mm. Now, you talked about Kevin De Bruyne back there. Well, I don't think we can see that as indicative of anything particularly. The reason so many of the moves to the Premier League conditioned by money. Who else could have afforded to pay 55 million to get him from Wolfsburg at that point? Who else would have done that?
So I think
apart
Premier
from
League.
Manchester City, no one else would have done. And you know what? I think when we look at these key players and the choice, and especially when we look at Bellingham, Mbappe, Haaland, who are the most relevant when we talk about it in a modern sense, it kind of reflects the past as well. Because these are young players who, as I've said before, are taking real ownership of their career management. Not just thinking, oh, brilliant, let's see what offers I'll get and see where it takes me. Mm-hmm. I don't think they look at it like that. I think every step is planned, particularly with Erling Haaland.
With Haaland,
definitely.
You can, see
that, throughout his career. And do you know what? I think it goes back to the fact that football is quite a small community. Players talk amongst each other. And, of course, players know the Premier League. Now, It's not just a sense of watching the Premier League on TV and thinking, oh, that looks exciting. Mm. I'll have a bit of that. They talk to their friends who are in the Premier League, and it's so physically exacting.
Yeah.
I think it maybe diminishes, well, it definitely diminishes the amount of years you have at the top for a lot of players. And I think a lot of players bear that in mind. And a lot of big players in the past have borne that in mind as well. And, you know, you can look at certain players and think, yeah, like he could be an amazing player, but maybe not the Premier League for him. I mean, Fernando Torres, I've brought this quite up before, but he said when he was still at Liverpool, I'm going to have to make a choice at some point because the Premier League brings the absolute best out of me and it's also absolutely breaking my body.
Yeah.
And if I want to be an elite player until I'm 32, 33, 34, then at some point I'm going to have to make a decision. Mm. And perhaps for him to elongate his prime, the best decision would have been to quit the Premier League when he left Liverpool rather than go to Chelsea, which obviously didn't prove to be a great move despite the fact that he ended up winning the Champions League.
And then he got really hench, didn't he?
He was magnificent.
No, he's ripped.
Oh, he's extraordinary now.
I mean, to back up Mandeep's point, actually, is what the Premier League do is they hoover up a lot of the really good players.
Because who can become the next superstars?
Exactly, and I think
it's the Liverpool model, really, isn't it?
Quite possibly, yeah. So they can. The Premier League clubs have got that money now, and they can spend it, and they can do that. So you've got a lot of teams with a lot of really, really good players, and as you say, they become those star players. Now, if you're at Manchester City, you're playing under Pep Guardiola. Really, where better is there to go? You're earning an absolute fortune, etc., etc.
You'll become the best version of yourself.
Indeed, look at the rest of Europe. Italian clubs have fallen away in terms of finances. Yeah, look, they've got five Champions League representatives next season and they're going far in competitions compared to the Premier League. So again, you've got quality and tactics and so on, managerial quality as well. But staying on point, there's very few clubs now that you can go to. Obviously, PSG, Real Madrid, not even Barcelona now financially can do it. And then to a lesser extent, Bayern, because they tend to not spend big, despite Kane, than some of the others. So if you do have, say, someone like Erling Haaland come along and he chooses Manchester City, well, if he's then going to play and do really great things, he will then naturally, you know, he'll achieve everything as he's done and then move on potentially, without mentioning that he may well have planned the move and so on. So I think Premier League's great at doing that. Those sub players then can then move on to, again, usually Real Madrid to go and do it. But I do find it interesting that if they've come through academies at Barcelona and so on, they tend not to go to the Premier League. And maybe it is a perception that league doesn't fit my style of play. You've got the physical stuff, as you mentioned, Andy, but you think about a lot of those Spanish players who played. I know one or two are going to do it because there's money and maybe one that want to try another challenge. But I think there's probably still, or has been in the past, understandably, that element of the style of football doesn't suit my game.
Going back to Mandeep's point, don't you think that gap has closed with the sort of coaches, obviously particularly Guardiola, but if you look at Arteta as well, the sort of coaches that are dominating the Premier League. When we look at how players from all over Europe and the world look at the Premier League, I don't think like players sit at home and go, that's technically shit. That was a great one. We've got one from Tom on the Discord here. What's the Ramble's verdict on the shuffle option for albums? Discord consensus seems to be it makes you a wrong'un.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think I've got a particularly old school view of that. I think
that is very old school.
I'll explain my position. If you've got an artist that you like, a few of their songs, and you grab a couple of singles and a few of their tunes you like, and you chuck them on your own playlist, obviously I've got no problem with that whatsoever. Mm. But is there a band that you actually like and or an artist that you actively like and you go out of your way to be a fan of theirs and you're, for example, buying products from them? I know a lot of people stream these days, but say you're engaging with them in that way. Ultimately, the album track order is a part of the process. Like they've thought about that album. I know plenty of musicians and every single one of them will tell you they hate the idea of you shuffling their album. Mm. They've chosen the order of the songs and they want the album to be listened to in that way. I don't think you should really be doing that any more than you should be selecting your own artwork for the album cover. I mean, it's part of the artistic process. So if they're a band you're not bothered about and you ain't like the old song, do what you want. But if you're engaging with them on an album basis, I don't think you can It's just not a position you should be taking. You shouldn't be going, oh, I think that song order on fucking whatever it is definitely maybe should be like this. I mean, it's mental.
No, I agree with you, Luke.
I think it's absolutely deviant behaviour.
I actually agree with Luke. I've never shuffled an album, to be quite frank. I mean, a playlist, fine, as Luke said, you've a handful of songs here on Spotify or wherever, you make your own playlist and so on. I mean, although, technically you've already shuffled it because you've already chucked a load of songs together anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter.
If you know the order in your mind and you think, oh, this is a bit predictable, fine.
It depends on the quality of the album, though, doesn't it? I mean, I would say, for example, if you take Daytona or It's Almost Dry by Pusha T and you start flicking that, I mean, that is just totally wrong, because in terms of order, yeah, there is a full
part of it.
There is a full journey there to be had.
What if it was a best of, Andy?
Best of, do what you want. Best of, if they're a band that you just like them on a best of basis, do what you want.
Yeah, but we're talking proper studio albums. Yeah, I don't think anybody should be shuffling it,
Andy.
But why? My point is just why?
Exactly.
Well, because it's much easier to do nowadays. I mean, it's far more difficult to shuffle if you're listening to a cassette tape on a Walkman, isn't it?
Yeah. Andy, next time you're doing yoga with Goldie, ask him if he likes if he'll shuffle his album. Because I tell you now, he's going to say no.
If he's going to produce, 20-minute songs on Timeless, which he was doing back in 1995, I mean, people are going to have the odd flick here and there, aren't they?
Mate, if you get bored of a song, you flick onto the next one because you're finding out and out about an album. That's not the same thing.
No, it's not the same
thing. But you're basically shitting all over an artistic endeavour if you do that, if you shuffle. Mm. That's my view.
You don't watch a third film of a trilogy first.
Exactly! You're going to put the fucking second season of Breaking Bad on. Right, first up, episode 10. Yeah. You don't do that. It's a story,
Andy.
Exactly. That's a good way to end
it. Disposable modern culture. We're not having it, it turns out.
No, someone's got to fight the good fight.
And we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Mailbag, part of the Acast Creator Network. We're back on Monday with a brand new ramble. In the meantime, follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. And don't forget, footballramblelive.com, baby.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.